code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 14th of January 2009. For newcomers, look into cuttingthroughmatrix.com and you can go through as many of the talks I've given in the past at your leisure. There's lots to choose from, lots of topics, but mainly all dealing with the same big, incredible net that's around the world, this big fishing net that's pulling us all together in a specific direction, a pre-planned goal, in fact, that was determined long ago. And I try to show you how it's done by connecting the foundations and the relationships between the foundations that really suddenly appeared in the 1800s, although some of the members had associations, they called them, prior to that, but all going in the same direction, and how it's affected the whole of the 20th century with all of the planning, the treaties that comes out of the war. Various wars are very important to them, because there is a war on humanity, supposedly to, as they say, save humanity. That's your doublethink. And you can also look into Alan Watt Sentinel.eu for written transcripts of these talks I've given, and you can print them up. They're written in the various languages of Europe. This incredible topic, as I say, it's our whole reality. That's the hardest part to grasp, that it's everything that we take for granted, really. We've grown up in a system, and children will accept the system they grow up in, thinking it's quite natural and normal. And all the studies that have been done on mammals show that the young of the mammals will look towards parents to show them signs of agitation or fear towards other animals or creatures which they might be an enemy of, might be dangerous to them. And if the mammal doesn't know to warn the youngster will go right up to its main enemy and probably get eaten. And that's what's happening to us. Our parents were brainwashed before we were born, of course, and they in turn had incredible indoctrination put upon them through the educational system. The educational system can be traced quite far back in most countries. Gatto has a really good book out on it, on the history of education and what its main purpose initially was. And it wasn't just to turn out good workers, it was also to create a peaceful society. And if you go into the writings of other orators, especially of the US, you know, like Webster, for instance, a great orator, great speech writer, he wrote some incredible articles on the purpose of education, and he said that it was to create a particular idealistic type of a citizen. But it didn't stop there. It doesn't just stop it helping us gain the skills we need to go out into employment. They also had a further intention for it. It was to eventually bring us into a controlled society by using the sciences. And perhaps because of the sciences, because the scientists at the top, especially those in the fields of what became known as psychology and psychiatry, were looking at humanity as a whole. And when they first came together and became a more respectable profession, before that were speculators, really, then became a profession from Freud onwards, they decided that humanity and the individual within humanity was a wild beast and had to be tamed by scientific methods. They claimed that the individual caused the wars, which is absolutely crazy, because where in the past and monarchs ruled, certainly monarchs could take whole nations off to wars and people would obey using tribal instincts. But it went much further than that, and that's where I'm going to go in this talk. And we'll be back after this break.
toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex, chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Forgive my nasal sound tonight, but it was 40 degrees below Fahrenheit last night. That's what it hit. And it's plummeting that way tonight as well, so it's been a bit of up and down with the old nose and so on. But I got the fire stoked well with firewood and it's quite cozy in here. Getting back to the topic of how we're manipulated, really, and that's what it's about. Long before Freud came along, and Freud himself is an interest in history, and his wife did too, and those various relatives of his were all involved in the same area of mind control in one way or another. Freud's attempts at psychoanalysis were more of a method to find out why people behave in certain ways, what motivates them, where Bernays, his nephew, was more involved in applying what was known to control and persuade the masses to behave in a certain way or to buy products even without their knowing why they were doing it. So they were working together, but not just them. There were other relatives that they had, and you can do searches on them. It's quite a fascinating study. You find various groups all coming out of Germany in the same area working on the mind. And it was certainly applied in full, which makes me think that the technique itself was beyond Freud and was pre-Freud. Because when Bernays started using these techniques on society, it was already a known art. He came at things from such a weird angle, you'd never have guessed how to do it. It had to have been debated, discussed, and tested long, long before he was born. And he must have been taught and trained this, so it predates Freud, this particular type of science. They brought into it other areas too, like mesmerism and self-hypnosis, which tend to go together, and all these modern groups today that promise you wondrous things if you take their courses usually use the same techniques, and so do some charismatic Christian organizations as well. As I say, like the ones that have the airports, they call it the airport convention at Toronto. But then you go even further back and you find in the writings of John Dee that he was doing the same with groups of people when he was calling down spirits. That's a term they gave it, where you'd be full of either the Holy Ghost or a demon or whatever, depends how you look upon it. But people would do the same fantastic things. They'd writhe about on the floor and they'd bash their feet up and down on the floor and do weird kind of gyrations. Same thing you'll see today, this form of induced hysteria. And that can be done when you offer your mind over to someone who knows how to use techniques. But you have to give your mind to them for the order for them to do it. Therefore, you join these particular groups and they use you. But what about the sciences that affect the whole of society and we're completely unaware of? And that's the trick to it. That's the trick. Bernays himself said, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind. Now, he got a lot of his study from previous investigators from the 1800s who went into, they called it the crowd, the psychology of the crowd. But he says, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses, according to our will without their knowing about it? That's what Bernays said. He said it because he knew it could be done. In fact, it already was being done at the beginning of the 1900s. And when you look at the techniques they were being used in the Western capitalist countries, and eventually they were to be used in the Soviet countries, and they used them, the same techniques in a slightly different way. In the Soviet country, they appealed highly to the people's patriotism. And they used massive propaganda. Remember, too, that Bernays himself also wrote a book called Propaganda and how it could be used to motivate millions of people along the same direction. And in the Soviet Union, it eventually fell apart because there was no reward eventually given to the people. You can keep them going along for so long, working hard for the people, but eventually they realize they're living in a poor condition. They're not getting the kind of food they really need to be strong and healthy, but they also see that there's an elite above them going around in the big limousines, chauffeur-driven cars, in this great utopia where they're all supposed to be equal, and they don't work so hard, and it gradually trails off when they're not getting their rewards. You'll find, just prior to World War II, this ties in with all of this. A group came over from Germany. They were really Trotskyites in their belief systems. And Theodor Adorno was one of them. Sometimes they call themselves the dispossessed, this particular group or club. And they came over to the West, mainly to America and Britain, and they worked to study the American culture and set up because they were so astonished to see a similar thing to the Soviet Union being established in America, in the USA, without that kind of propaganda, because it was being used through people's purchasing abilities. If you alter the purchasing techniques and aim at the consumer using consumer methods, you completely alter the culture. And you realize that the power techniques were actually stronger in the West, and they set up a foundation to use and manipulate that whole culture. If you study the Soviet system again, they had many wars and takeovers of countries under the guise of peace. They always said it was to create world peace. if you went into many of the definitions of peace, they tend to come down to the same one, and peace was described as being the, or defined as being the absence of all opposition. And then they had the various peace movements. In the Western countries, we see our own governments occupying countries under the guise of peace. They're going to pacify them to pacify the world. We see our own countries at the same time being turned into concentration camps under the same world system that's going to give us such incredible peace. So there are many ways to bring about, by using the same techniques in a Soviet country or in a Western capitalist country, you can bring them together along the same path by using the same techniques, because they're based on sciences which control the masses without the masses even being aware of it. They go for your emotions primarily, not on logic or reasoning. And in fact, what they said at the World Psychiatric Association many years ago, and reiterated by many psychiatrists since, even Ewan Cameron, who did the MKUltra experiments, he believed in this, and he stated the same thing, that the individual was a dangerous animal, and therefore he had to be tamed, and that psychiatrists and psychologists should be given the right to dictate what kind of society, being the only intelligent, rational beings, they were the only ones who should have the right to dictate what kind of society should come into being. And also they wanted incredible power over the schools, over the minds of children and adults, and governments and politics themselves. They wanted psychiatrists on every parliament and Congress. When you look at what's happened, and we always find things out after the fact, which is the astonishing thing for someone waking up. They start to think, what on earth has happened today? And then they find out, no, this has been going on for quite a long time. And then they go even further back and they realize they've lived through a whole phase of change that they themselves were unaware of, because it's been done so slickly, so scientifically, that they had no clue they themselves and their behavior was being altered along a certain path. Even with the topics that filled their minds and they talked about with each other were all given to them by specialists. But see, these are old sciences. There's not much being given out really into the public about the nuts and bolts techniques of how to use it. It's very hard to get those kind of books. But those in top marketing companies do have access to them, and they are proven sciences. They do work. They have worked on society. I grew up through an era of massive change where people thought they were rebelling. And then I realized they were all starting to wear the same kinds of clothes, like outfits, jeans, blue jeans. And the older ones had fringes and jackets like this. Well, that was all made by the fashion industry. And it was promoted to them through advertising. Be different, dress like this, until they all look the same. When you look at the Club of Rome, that also believes in this, well, this is a fact, that the human being is too irrational to be left to himself. It must be controlled and directed and altered if need be. They do have some truths contained in what they say, some truths. They did say, for instance, one of the truths being that when they looked around the world in the 1970s, there were so many conflicting groups across the planet, all fighting with each other and arguing with each other, that it would be impossible to have peace at all. And they also said the more powerful the various groups become, the more aggressive they would become. There's a truth in there. There definitely is a truth in there. However, we should always look into see who starts up these groups as well and has them battling each other for the desired outcome of synthesis. Back with more after the following break.
Special Roast Hemp Coffee from HempUSA.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from HempUSA.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at HempUSA.org today.
In these hard economic times, being prepared is the most important thing you can do. To everyone in the Fredericksburg and Austin, Texas areas, it's your time to get prepared. Come and hear the Freeze-Dry Guy give a spirited presentation on your family preparedness and emergency food storage needs for the uncertain times ahead. There will be plenty of good information, lots of samples, and sharing of information in a relaxed atmosphere. The first presentation will be in Fredericksburg, Texas, on Friday, January 16th at 6 p.m. at the AG Building at 95 Frederick Road. The second and third presentation will be in Austin, Texas, on Saturday and Sunday, January 17th and 18th at 2 p.m. at Brave New Books at 1904 Guadalupe Street. These are no-charge presentations. Come early, though, to ensure good seating. For more information, visit www.freezedryguy.com or call 530-265-8333. Bring a friend and enjoy these free Freeze Dry Guy preparedness presentations. The Freeze Dry Guy looks forward to meeting you.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, discussing the hidden persuaders. And I'm trying to tell you how the sciences, the professions got together, those that deal with the mind, judging themselves to be superior, obviously, because they were men of science and rationality, they claimed. Which is kind of scary, because if you look at the history of Freud, you find out the man was a heavy drug user. He fudged a lot of his publications. He tried to make facts fit where they didn't, and had some bogus tests, and eventually a lot of his stuff was discredited, but a lot of the techniques that came out of his inquiries into the subconscious, or even the unconscious, as he called it, the great sea, where everything that is possible within a human dwells, all the good things about you, all the bad things about you that come out in dreams. He was learning a lot about what motivates people, really, and also learning about what motivates their fears. If you know what motivates their fears, you can use those fears on the general public to control them. And Bernays, his nephew, was already making a great name for himself by using these techniques in sales and in politics. He groomed many politicians. Bernays himself and others also worked with the Tavistock Institute, where they'd go over and work on mental patients, people who, in other words, with no rights whatsoever. And they were, at that time even, he was using electrodes implanted in the brain to see if they could alter the behavior of people. We find Aldous Huxley talking about the very same thing, about Tavistock, because he worked there as well. These people were all involved in Tavistock, not because they're going to help people get better from illnesses, but really to find ways to control whole populations, if not the populace of the whole world. That was their goal. Until they claimed that those who were rational, meaning the general populations, were totally tamed and controlled either through pharmacology or through electronic means, there would be no peace. Therefore, their goal and their aim, their mandate, was to bring all this into being, to give themselves more power, get laws passed until they had that power to bring about the kind of society they wished. Here's a statement made by Aldous Huxley. It's at the California Medical School in San Francisco in 1961. It says, there will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them but will rather enjoy it, because it will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing. It says, or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. So they called it the final revolution. All the other revolutions had been won. And there have been many revolutions. Some bloodless, mainly through cultural changes and so on. Other ones were very bloody indeed. But the final one was to control and tame humans altogether. Now, you can only do that with predictability of people, of everyone. And we're living through a phase now, under the guise of terrorism, to have everyone's data collected, and it has been for years, actually. All the communications, I've read the reports from mainstream newspapers and even from military sites where they have literally a sort of clone of you, a cyber clone of you in cyberspace in a computer with all your habits. They even have your friends that you talk to on your cell phones in the same simulations to see if you are as predictable as they think you are by knowing all your habits and likes, dislikes, and so on. To have a world peace, to have peace in society, everyone must be 100% predictable by the authorities. This ties in again with The Hidden Persuaders by Vance Packard, who says on page 206, eventually, say by AD 2000, perhaps all this depth and manipulation of the psychological variety will seem amusingly old-fashioned, but that by then perhaps the biophysicists will take over with biocontrol, which is in-depth persuasion carried in its ultimate. Biocontrol is the new science of controlling mental processes, emotional reactions, and sense perceptions by bioelectrical signals. Bioelectrical signals. Now, this was done in the 50s, this book, and then jump forward to the 70s. When Zbigniew Brzezinski brought out his book, The Technotronic, with the Between Two Ages, with the chapter The Technotronic Era in it, where he said the same thing. Through technotronics, as he called it, you could control whole societies. To continue with Vance Packard's one, it says, the National Electronics Conference meeting in Chicago in 1956 had an electrical engineer, Curtis R. Schaefer, of the Norden Katie Corporation, explored the startling possibilities of biocontrol as he envisioned it. Electronics could take over the control of unruly humans. This could save the indoctrinators and thought controllers a lot of fuss and bother. It made it sound relatively simple. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts from We're Cutting Through the Matrix. Just before the break, reading from Vance Packer's book, The Hidden Persuaders, I was mentioning biocontrol. It says, biocontrol is a new science of controlling mental processes, emotional reactions, and sense perceptions by bioelectric signals. The National Electronics Conference meeting in Chicago and 56-year-old electrical engineer Curtis R. Schaefer of the Norden Kitté Corporation explored the starting possibilities of biocontrol. As he envisioned it, the electronics could take over the control of unruly humans. This could save the indoctrinators and thought controllers a lot of fuss and bother. He made it sound relatively simple. This is in the 50s. Planes, missiles, and machine tools are already guided by electronics, and the human brain, being essentially a digital computer, can be too. Already, through biocontrol, scientists have changed people's sense of balance. And they have made animals with full bellies feel hunger and made them fearful when they have nothing to fear. Time magazine quoted him as explaining, the ultimate achievement of biocontrol may be the control of man himself. The controlled subjects would never be permitted to think as individuals. A few months after birth, a surgeon would equip each child with a socket mounted under the scalp and electrodes reaching selected areas of brain tissue. The child's sensory perceptions and muscular activity could be either modified or completely controlled by bioelectric signals radiating from state-controlled transmitters. It's like the Matrix movie, isn't it? This in the 50s. He added the reassuring thought that the electrodes cause discomfort. Just won't know that you are you. I'm sure that the psycho-persuaders of today would be appalled at the prospect of such indignity being committed on men. They're mostly decent, likable people, products of a relentless progressive era. Most of them would want to control us just a little bit in order to sell us some product we may find useful or disseminate with us a viewpoint that may be entirely worthy. But when you are manipulating, where do you stop? Who's to fix the point at which the manipulative attempts become socially undesirable? And that is the big problem, isn't it? That is the big problem. After 9/11, when they asked everyone to give up their security for peace, it came once again to the table, how much freedom do you give the average person and still have safety for the state, for the system itself? That will always come up. Well, the answer is, they can't trust man at all. When you read their other writings, they cannot trust man whatsoever. They make it quite categorically clear that they don't trust the average human being. We're too primitive, too unreasoning, we're unthinking. And we live on emotion rather than logic or reason. When people have studied all of the TV, and TV definitely was a great tool, still is a fantastic tool to manipulate people with, but they also do studies on people who watch television. They have all along. And they were fascinated by those that love soaps. Soaps are full of what Freud would call the sexual, the hidden dogmas of sex, all the different frustrations and so on that are under the surface. So they let it go in the soaps. You play out the fantasy in the soap. But they wanted also to see if they could actually make people actually portray it in real life. In other words, copy what they were seeing and bring it into their own existences, and had questionnaires about this too, to see how it was affecting them. So we are affected by what we see. As Skinner said, if you want to modify behavior, you alter the environment of your target. You put in a television set, that's what you do. You alter an environment, they'll alter their behavior. You can do it with a radio. As Tavistock found out very early on too, when they used to try the serials, the continuous serials, where at the end of each hour, the person was left with a cliffhanger, and you weren't sure if they were going to come through this or they'd die, and people literally would run home to hear the next episode. So their behavior was modified. They changed their daily behavior. It's very simple stuff in that respect. The Hidden Persuaders goes on in the core and feeding of positive thinkers, or the care and feeding of positive thinkers. On page 194, it says, winning the public's collective mind over confidence is a monumental task. Over two confidence is a monumental task, yet industry leaders seem to be succeeding. That was in Tide magazine. Back in the 1920s, Americans across the land were chanting 10 times a day. The light is bad in here. It says here, every day in every way I'm getting better and better. Remember the old saying? They're applying to their problems the formula for self-mastery through conscious autosuggestion devised by French druggist psychologist Emile Coué. Gradually this formula became pretty well discredited as a way of coping with their basic problems. By 1956, Coueism seemed to be enjoying a hearty revival, particularly in the highest circles of business and government. In almost every day's newspaper, some tycoon was announcing vast expansion plans or unlimited faith in the culture or the future. Economists in the employment of industry were making reassuring pronouncements that our economy was rock solid despite the monumentous growth of unpaid consumer debts. Business Week in March 1956 was exulting over the fact that confidence is high. A new wave of confidence is sweeping the business community. A week later, another journal widely read by businessmen was exclaiming happily over the fact that all the important indices were going up, up, up. Its subheads were enter optimism and exit fear. While such happy exclamations were filling the air in late 1955 and early 1956, Tide explained to any merchandisers who might still be in the dark what was behind it all, Much of this exuberant chest beating, it said, was carefully calculated psychology devised by professional persuaders. The journal even coined the phrase psychological marketing to describe this new marketing technique, which it said was geared to meet the special needs of the psychological age in which we live. You see examples of it every day, it continued. Just recently, there were announcements of huge jet plane orders indicating confidence in the travel market in the next decade. There are other ones like Harlow Curtis's billion-dollar bet. Other leaders in business, industry, and finance speak out week after week expressing their faith in the economy. Auto men talk of the 10 million car year just around the corner. Steelmakers talk expansion and more expansion. There are other less dramatic examples. The releases on expansion plans, the speeches to local groups, even the talk across lunchtime tables is all about expansion. Then it explained what it was all about, what was taking place. These men aren't talking just to hear their voices, nor do they enjoy venturing out on the economic limb. Their main aim is to beef up the confidence level of the nation by counteracting pessimism that sometimes gets voiced, so that dealers will keep on ordering goods and consumers will keep on buying goods at a higher and higher rate, and if necessary go into debt to do it. To maintain a pace of increasing consumption, it asserted, a higher level of credit buying must be maintained as well. There must be a continued willingness to expand. Such a willingness to expand, industrial thinkers had concluded, rested on confidence. Confidence and spending are handmaidens of an expanding economy, Tide stated. From a persuasion standpoint, this matter of confidence transcended anything else. The minute a glow of confidence left the landscape, all sorts of disagreeable things might happen. One thing that would surely happen would be that people might start watching their dollars and become more cerebral in their buying. That would make things difficult all over for depth merchandisers trying to tempt people into impulsive buying, status symbol buying, leisure buying, and many other kinds of self-indulgent buying. Dr. Dichter was most emphatic on the hazard involved if confidence was not kept at a high level. Now listen to this. You see, you can go through a lot of boring books, and it's just here and there you find the gem. Dr. Dichter was most emphatic on the hazard involved if confidence was not kept at a high level. Our prosperity is based on psychological foundations, he warned. Not of real foundations, psychological foundations. And added that economists and business leaders who predict any dip in business are playing with fire and doing a disservice to the country. Now, what did you think economists were there for? What did I think they were there for? To do a science that was supposedly fairly exact. But here's Dr. Dichter saying, our prosperity is based on psychological foundations. He warned and added that economists and business leaders who predict any dip in any bad news, in other words, in business, are playing with fire and doing a disservice to the country. What was the evidence that confidence was crucial? Merchandisers were strongly influenced by the finding of the Survey Research Center psychologists at the University of Michigan, who kept a running chart on the buying mood of the United States public for the Federal Reserve Board. These probers found that there is such a thing as our national buying mood and were reported as being convinced that a generally cheerful atmosphere, more than any rational calculation, seems to make people feel like spending their money. Now, what's actually saying here? Dichter is basically saying it's heresy to give the public bad news because they'll stop buying. Now, that's been known all along in this field, in economics. And they're always trying to push the good news. Is that the reason they don't tell us the truth? But think about the opposite of it. When they brought the present crunch on, this financial crunch, which was on the go all along, because basically the stock market was full of Ponzi schemes. In fact, it's all a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. It depends on new investors coming in all the time and older ones leaving their money in. That's how it's run. When this supposed financial crash came, it came from the top. The president himself scared the bejesus out of the general public with his gloom and doom of we're crashing, it could be worse than the Great Depression. Which tells you that this was another must-be. And it's only when you go into the other books to find the whole question of money is to change. The whole purpose of money is to change into a new society, a new economic society. The first part being Britain, the Bretton's Woods Agreement, part one, where the founder himself, the chairman, the guy who run it, said that this is only one part of a phase. Well, Mr. Bush was given the nod to start the next part of the phase, and it's being carried out right now, where we're to go into a new economic system. If they wanted to go along with the religion of always saying, rah, 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 the economy is great, the people would be spending, 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 regardless of reality. So to say, that was a must be. You should go into the writings put out by the foundations that studied this, like I say, especially the ones like the great foundation that was set up by the Trotskyites who came across to the US and Britain. Because they were fascinated to realize that these social psychologists at the top, these business psychologists, were running the country through their ability to direct the consumer and get the consumer to change their ways and their values and all the rest of it. Right down to, say, and like a chapter in that particular book, Bitten Persuaders, the feminization of the male. The men at one time generally never bought their own clothes. They didn't care what they wore. Fashion was an alien thing to them. They'd have one or two pair of shoes, or a pair of boots, a pair of baggy pants, a jacket, and maybe a suit for a funeral. That was about it. That's all, but as far as they cared about. But because the women did the purchasing, they aimed at advertising mainly at the woman. And it became very successful. Because then they could work on the woman and say, through the advertising, does this look like your husband? And you see the smartly dressed guy, slim and probably younger, dressed in a flashy outfit, looking very trendy, and they'd say, this is a new successful man. And she would look at her husband and realize that there's old Joe wearing his old clothes, probably quite happy. And she would start to change him because she was doing the purchasing. Now they don't need that. They have the men doing it themselves. It's rather astonishing, as I say, to read articles going back so many years and with this book and others to do with the drugging of society, Big Pharma coming in to gain control over society, then so many things make sense to you, suddenly make sense to you. When they started to drug the children with Ritalin and all the other spin-offs of Ritalin, it all suddenly makes sense. They wanted to bring pharmacology right into the classroom, which they did, which they've done. It won't be enough to stop there because they're going to go an awful lot further, an awful lot further. They generally bypass the older generations and go straight for the youth. And it's true enough for anybody under 30, because you're still very programmable up to the age of 30. Anybody above 30, they just forget you'll die off. You're just working towards your pension, in fact, and you hope to be a good boy and get it and cause no ruffles. This particular article here is called 2020, and I think it's from the TES. Yeah, the TES, I guess it's the Teacher's Educational Supplement, on 8th of June 2007 by Irina Barker. Says here, 2020, dawn of the intelligent classroom. You notice there's a whole bunch of programs now called 2020 when they want to integrate even cybernetics with humans and chips and all the rest of it. It says here, it is the exam time in the year 2020 and pupils are feeling tense. Suddenly gentle music starts to play, the corridors fill with a soft blue light and a soothing breeze blows through the classrooms. Another part of the school, a geography teacher creates a jungle in the classroom, complete with steam, heat, and smells. Elsewhere, a history teacher recreates the freezing conditions of the siege of Leningrad. Intelligent school buildings which respond to people's moods are just one of the predictions made in a future report by Future Lab, the Bristol Education Research Centre. They predict in 13 years' time, pupils will have 24-hour access to a new kind of wireless network, incorporating the internet, television, and telephone through tiny devices in the fabric of their clothes. Pupils will, they've already done that in some schools in Britain, which I've read in the past, on air. Pupils will be able to look back at lessons at any time via special glasses, which will record their whole lives, creating a reliable virtual memory. Well, you'll bet the authorities will be watching their whole lives and using this memory from their glasses. Haha, it's going to be a chip, I know. Back with more after this break.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Going through the types of controls that are coming up and actually being installed right now in various schools in some countries. It says here, security in schools will change to advanced biometric full-body scanning systems embedded in doorways could allow pupils and staff access to different rooms without the need for keys, passwords, or retinal scans. And the system would refuse access to criminals and excluded pupils. Well, see, they're training a young group to come into a world where they're always going to go through this incredible types of security and scrutiny with no privacy whatsoever. That's the whole point of the training, to get you used to the fact of having and not minding not having privacy. This is what Huxley was talking about, how people will love their servitude. Kerry Facer, the research director at Future Lab, said technology would become so embedded in closed everyday objects in schools that it would become harder to see where the child ends and the technology begins. That's the interfacing with technology that they're taking us all through. She says there's a huge ethical debate that we need to have now about the potential effects of the surveillance on personal privacy. Well, do the public have any input on this? Are they asked? Have they even asked what they think? And of course, the answer is no. Will we assume it is normal for pupils to be tracked and monitored throughout the day? Well, in some schools, they already are. I've read those articles before, too. High-tech changes in schools would also pose questions about what pupils should learn in the classroom and how they should be assessed if information recall were to become redundant. The focus on the three R's could shift, for example, if the written word lost prominence in favor of audio and voice recognition technologies. They're already using some of this audio and voice recognition technology to get through into schools, through the gates. That's from 2020 and beyond. It says, several of Future Lab's predictions are already becoming true. Intelligent buildings, that's already in, there's articles out there on intelligent buildings. Green End Primary in Manchester became the first UK school to install computer-controlled intelligent lighting that responds to people's biorhythms. There's classroom simulations. There's also a testbed classroom at Grey Court School in Surrey, which allows teachers to vary environments using surround sound and projection screens. But it doesn't mention here is they're also putting cameras above the students, each student, and they're also putting recorders in. So you can study the blinks even from your eye to see how you're responding to certain subjects and so on. Observation and psychology. We're all specimens in a great laboratory. And we don't even know it. There's articles that came out of Vance Packer's book. There's been documentaries done showing you about these tiny little fisheye cameras that have been used all through supermarkets, which were decades have studied the blickers, the flickers and the size of the pupils of the people looking at the different items on the shelves, and the people are utterly unconscious of them. And here you are being studied like a specimen because you are the prey of big business, obviously. Getting back to this article here, though, it says lessons in virtual worlds. They're going to have them in virtual worlds. It's already here to an extent. They want to add presence to it so you'll think you're actually in a room with people. It makes you wonder why you have a body at all eventually. Maybe we won't. Well, that's it for tonight from a very, very cold interior Canada where it's getting down to 40 below Fahrenheit. From Hamish myself, it's good night and may your God or your gods go with you.